at the scene of the crime. If you really want to turn me on, what are you doing over there? I gotta try another way, honey, release some pressure. There's no other way to measure. I only got 10 more minutes before the golden child gives it a go.
Amy, are you there?
I'm here.
You want to do the intro?
You know I'm in my car, right?
Yeah, I know you're in your car.
That means it's not in front of me, right?
Right. Well, I can do the intro. I thought you meant you wanted to do the introduction.
Oh. Well, welcome to Vamp Radio Band Night. Today is April the 8th, 2009, and this is Amy, and I'm here with Jess.
Hi. Well, we're going to jump right into this. We have a special guest on the phone, but I want to give a quick intro. Jerry Cherry is the result of many factors. Take a New York via Florida via Brooklyn artist and add a generous dose of only the finest influences. Bowie, The Verve, Elvis, Radiohead, The White Stripes, and add plenty of heartfelt emotion, the sort of heartfelt emotion that only comes from living life. You take those songs rooted in the blues, in folk, rockabilly, and old country, and filter them through cello and violin and trumpet and trombone, and you add all those influences, such as the measurable draw of New York City and the trials of wanting love, and you take that appeal broad enough to burn up both top 40 charts and indie internet radio stations, and that is Jerry Terry. Welcome, Jerry. How are you doing?
Great. How are you tonight?
Good. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yes, and as you heard, Amy is actually on the road, so she is calling in from transit, so we'll do our best to keep this flowing smoothly.
So she's driving from her Maserati.
Yeah.
I usually can't drive. I mean, I can't drive. I can't drive.
You can't drive at all.
I can't drive 55.
No. Well, so in the beginning,
in the beginning. Whenever you say those three words.
Right. In the intro, we mentioned that you were born in Brooklyn, correct?
Yes, I was born in Brooklyn.
Where? What part?
I was born in East New York.
Okay.
And, I moved to Florida when I was very young. I moved to Florida when I was six, you know, so I retired early. Yeah, it was me and all the old people
just hanging out.
Sun and, you know, enjoying it, you know. But so I grew up in South Florida. So, you know, you can take the boy out of Brooklyn, but you can't take the Brooklyn out of the boy, so they say.
That's
true. You know, but he goes back to Brooklyn. And that's what I wound up doing, and that's where I live now. I live in Brooklyn now.
What part of Brooklyn do you live in now?
I live in Greenpoint.
Okay. I'm from Park Slope.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was born in Brooklyn, and then at age 14, my parents moved me out to Jersey. And I just recently relocated, like within a couple of months, to Massachusetts, to the Boston area.
Ah.
I'm having a bit of an issue with the baseball season now because everybody is, go Red Sox up here, and I am totally a Yankees fan, so.
Oh, God. It's tough for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little tough, especially since my roommate has the Red Sox game playing in the background.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in playing? Did you have a musical family, or did you just kind of fall into it?
Well, my uncle plays guitar, my uncle's a great guitarist who has been playing all his life, and he's from the rock and roll days of the 50s, and I grew up hearing stories about him, when I was 7, 8, and, I lived with my grandparents, actually, for a little while, and it was their son, Lenny, who was my uncle, So they always had a guitar lying around the house, and, although my grandfather, he didn't really play too much. He played a few chords. He always loved country music and, country western, so he said, and, watch Hee-Haw. So I had to watch Hee-Haw, when I was a little kid, and I love it. Roy Clark is probably one of the greatest guitar players ever, and then there's this acoustic guitar was lying around the house, so... at 7, I would just kind of make noise with it. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I just would pluck the strings, open strings. But it wasn't until I was 12, actually, when I really experienced something that was, pretty amazing. I was on the, I was giving a friend of mine a ride on my handlebars of my bike to, we were going to the orange groves to get some oranges. And we passed by this music store. It's called Universal Language Studios. And we went in. I was 12 years old, and I saw this guy playing guitar, and I was completely blown away by it. The guy, he looked like Paul Stanley, Eddie Van Halen. He had crazy, cool, like long, curly black hair. And he was playing amazing. I mean, he was playing Van Halen pretty much the first record, note for note, perfectly. And 12 years old, to see something like that is pretty shocking because, you hear these people, you hear the records, and you think that these are stars. And basically, they're just real people, just like you and me. And when I saw this guy in there playing, it blew my mind. And, I wanted to start playing guitar. So I wound up actually getting two guitar lessons from him. His name is Scott Goodman. And I still see him every now and then. He lives back in Florida. And so I wound up getting two guitar lessons from him. And, of course, he showed me a couple songs, and they were wrong. He taught me, you know, the wrong way to play them, which is perfect. And so that's where it all began, right there. You know, just got the bug at 12 years old, and I wound up just noodling around for the first couple of years. And I think I got serious when I was 15, really, like kind of 14 going on 15, and that's when I really started. It was, you know, that was the end of it. That was the beginning of it and the end of it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have a very eclectic group of influences there.
Yeah.
Is that because living with your grandparents and living with your parents and all, was that influenced by them, or did you just always like different kinds of music?
I always liked different kinds of music, really. You know, I just kind of like whatever kind of tickled my ear. You know,
mm-hmm.
As a kid, you know, I remember listening to Elvis, and I remember listening to the radio, and whatever was on the radio, I got into. It was pretty much pop music, and, you know, and then I got into rock. You know, I mean, I grew up like Kiss. I was a huge Kiss fan. I mean, but I was also into the whole, like, theatrical aspect of it. You know, it was, rock and roll was pretty much, you know, it's larger than life to me. You know, I really enjoyed the bands that blew my mind were the ones that were just larger than life, like Kiss or AC/DC or Van Halen. You know, the music that was on the radio, the pop music, was pretty normal. These were regular people, you know, and that just wrote great songs. And, you know, that's all you really remember from them is their songs. Singer-songwriters,
right.
we call them today, you know. And but what really kind of grabbed my attention was the whole visual and audio aspect of it. Was kind of like the whole thing, the whole package. So, you know, getting into bands when I was really young, it was kind of at a time where, and it still is that time, you know, you can't hide from it, really. It's like, you know, it's still a very visual market, music, and, you know, and even then, you know, when I got into it, it was, you know, seeing bands. So I'm really into, like, every kind of music, and everything that tickles my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Classical music. I'm not as much into jazz, you know. I think I just probably haven't really heard the right amount of it, or the right jazz. But
there's also different types of jazz.
I'm very
simple
person, you know, with music. It has to be very simple. I like to take elements from jazz, some of the
mm-hmm.
melodies or some of the simple parts, and turn it into something, you know. But I've never really been a big jazz. I think everything else I'm into.
Yeah, I'm into pretty much everything, including jazz, except for country. Country gets me for some reason. Country and rap.
There's country two, and what?
Country and rap.
Rap.
Yeah. And even, well, it depends, because I do like some hip-hop, but I don't mind the mixing of those genres into something else, but in their pure form. Old country, you know, old country western, is not something that I'm really into. But
I
like some of the aspects. What?
Sorry to tell you, but I love old country.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm a huge. I don't like as much new country. The new country today is all about the quirky chorus title, you know.
Yeah.
But I
really like the lyrics. The lyrics are really, they speak to me. It's just that twang that gets to me.
It's the whole country that, you know, set up sound of Americana music today, you know, just simple, three chords, real
mm-hmm.
good singing and real good stories and real passion and life.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, too, because I'm a big, big, big fan of folk music, which is really not that far off. There's a fine line between the two of them.
You know, Johnny Cash, Loretta
Lynn. Okay, well, Johnny Cash. Okay, so I can't say I don't like country altogether, because I do like Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget about Johnny Cash.
No, can't do that. somebody in the chat room is asking what your biggest influences are. We did mention a couple of them, but is there one that we did not mention that was, like, instrumental in getting you, like, I want to be a rock star this is what I want to do, and, you know, this is who I want to be, other than that experience you had with the Van Halen playing.
Well, I think, you know, at a very early age, you know, Angus Young, you know, when I was 10 years old, or 12 years old, my first concert was AC/DC, you know, and when I was 11, I think I was, and Angus Young was, like, it for me as, you know, getting into guitar. You know, then it was all the guitar people. But as far as, you know, my influences now go, I mean, there's so many. I mean, I could tell you that my top three singers, you know, like if I was stuck on a desert island, you know, and I needed three albums or three singers, it would probably be, I'd probably get sick of them really quick, but, and it would suck to be stuck on a desert island with three CDs. What are you going to do with that?
Right.
But my favorite three singers are Richard Ashcroft of The Verve,
mm-hmm.
Jack White, you know, White Stripes,
yes.
and David Bowie. I think those three guys pretty much summed it all up. And they're,
you know, I can see you working with all three of those people.
I would love to if I ever had the opportunity to work with any of those three. You know, it would be very exciting.
That would be really interesting to see. I'm sure it would be, especially with Bowie.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I never thought about working with them. I always thought about just hanging out with them, you know.
Yeah.
Their brain a little bit. Now, Jack White, I'd love to go head-to-head with him on the guitar.
Yeah. Now, do you play any other instrument, or is it just the guitar that you play?
Well, I play a little... Well, I hate to even say this, that I play piano, because that's... ridiculous, but I play a little bit of piano, but I play it like a guitar player, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know a few chords, so I just apply them towards the piano, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I don't play it enough to call myself a piano player, or pianist. I've been called a pianist before.
Have you?
Yeah, many times.
I'm sure you have. In either case, I do have some questions that people have emailed into us, and one of them is, did you come to New York expecting to become famous, or did you come just to play because that was the place you wanted, the vibe was there?
I came to New York because a homeless guy said it would be a good idea for me to do. I'm serious. I was, you know, I came here the year before I moved here, and I was contemplating, you know, whether or not to stick it out in Florida, you know, or to move to New York, and, you know, and I was on my way back to the subway, going home the last night of my trip, and all of a sudden I was sitting in, I don't know what Square Park, not Washington Square Park, but right where Joe's Pizza is on 6th, on 6th
mm-hmm.
Street, and, you know, when they used to let the homeless people hang out in this one particular area.
Yeah.
Years ago. And just talking to this homeless guy, and he was just like, he's like, man, you got to come to where the $1 million is, because the $1 million isn't going to come to you. And I said, you know what? You're right. And then he goes, you wouldn't happen to have $6. So, you know, $6. I don't know how he came up with that number. $6, but gave him $6. I figured, you know, advice like that was worth well more than $6. I gave him $6, and I wound up moving here to become, you know, famous or whatever. I mean, why, you know, why does anybody move to New York, you know, to pursue their dreams?
Right.
I think it wasn't necessarily to be famous. It was really just to be, to do what I love to do, and to, you know. To make it happen. You know, New York is where things happen, and, you know, unfortunately Florida was nothing really going on, you know. And sometimes you don't know that when you're growing up and you're at a place and you wind up doing things in that place, and you know, you do the best that you can do, and then you realize, you know what, I'm doing all this stuff and I should be doing the same thing, because, you know, I'm a hard worker, I'm, you know, busting my butt trying to succeed at this. Why don't I go to where, you know, to a place where people could actually see what I'm doing, you know, give it a fair shot, you know, and that's really the reason why I came here, because it was just so much more exciting, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it is, I mean, New York, Florida.
Yeah.
Completely two different things, especially as far as the music.
Once you're in Miami, it really doesn't compare.
Right. Well, you know, growing up in Fort Lauderdale, you know, is a
right.
great beach. I love the beaches there, you know.
But the music.
And
the
I love my friends. I love my family that's still there. And I love my mama who's still there. And, you know. But.
What did your parents think when you told them, I'm going to New York and I'm going to be a musician? Were they
musician.
Did they try to talk you out of it?
No, talk me out of it. They, you know, they helped me pack. They're like, get out.
Get
go.
Out.
You know, and they know. You know, they know where it's happening. You know, especially coming from here. You know, we're from New York. So it wasn't like going to a complete strange land. I mean, I used to come up here a lot growing up because, you know, half my family lived in New York and then the other half lived in Florida. So as a kid, I used to come up here during the summers, you know, when I had off from school. And, you know, I'd spend the summers here in New York. But that was when I was really young. And so, I really didn't know much about the city or New York at all when I moved here back in the end of 2004. And, you know, got some crazy jobs, some random jobs that were similar to what I
did. What's the craziest job you've ever had?
What?
What's the craziest job you've ever had?
Craziest job ever had. I think right before I moved to New York, I did a crazy job in Florida where I was walking, like, door to door with this girl trying to sell, like, oh, God, it was ridiculous. I was trying to sell, like spas, like spa treatments.
Okay, yeah, I've seen
I don't know how I got into this. They dropped us off, me and someone else who had more experience at me than this, a girl. And I had to watch her the first day, you know, walk up to people and just say, hey, you want to buy these spa treatments? You can give them as gifts or you could give them to your girlfriends or whatever. And, you know, we'd walk to the most random places to do this,
yeah.
You know. And I don't know what happened, but, I wasn't good enough or, like, you know, I didn't get into you know what? I think halfway through the day I said, you know, this isn't for me. So I wound up, you know, they dropped me off at the mall. I'll never forget. So I spent the day at the mall. I think it was Boca Raton Mall. And I wound up running into someone that I knew. How random is that? And I went home and I thought, you know what? I have to go to New York because that's where $1 million is.
Wow.
Not here.
Well, we actually have a caller. I think it's an international caller.
Is it my mom?
Internationally? No.
No.
I think it's from England, so I'm going to pick them up if that's okay. I think they might have a question for you.
Let's hear
okay.
it.
Okay. Hang on one second. Come on. International call? Are you there? Are you just listening? Hello? Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. I guess they were just listening from overseas. They must be having trouble getting in.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. I was hoping that we had an actual caller.
An English caller.
Yeah, an English caller. They do call in from all over. I've gotten calls from Portugal and Brazil and Australia, all sorts of places. It's pretty cool, actually. It's amazing on the internet where you can be talking in Massachusetts to somebody in New York and pick up a call from somebody in Australia. So
yeah.
it's been a wild ride. But your music is very eclectic. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And it's got a really good vibe to it. I mean, it's kind of like the music you want to rock out to. Were you always going for that type of a feel, or have you kind of experimented and just found that this was the best kind of music for you?
I just wanted to make the best music that I could, you
mm-hmm.
know? And I never really set out to, you know, make a certain particular style or a particular sound. I fit the sound around, you know, the emotion that I'm feeling, you know, and if it needs a pretty acoustic sound, you know, then I'll make it, you know, acoustic. You know, kind of build around the idea of the song.
Right.
So, you know, and it just turns out however it turns out.
Cool.
You know?
So tell us a little bit about what you're up to now. You have an album coming out, or it's already out?
Yeah, it's already out. It's called Life is Sweeter, dot, dot, dot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I put a lot of heart and soul into this record. You know?
Yeah, I was reading on your MySpace page, and actually, if you could, I think it's myspace.com/Jerry Cherry Band. Is that correct? Yeah.
MySpace.
So I'm going to type it in the chat room now, right now, so people can go check it out and become your friend and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, please do.
myspace.com/Jerry Cherry Band.
Yeah.
Go check them out. Go check them out. You can hear some other songs. We're going to play some more music for you guys on the air, but I do want to get some more questions in here. Actually, somebody in the chat room says, were you a starving musician, and if so, how did you make music compatible with real-life stuff like eating?
Well, you know what? You could always eat. You know, and I hate to really say that because, you know, people are starving out there in the world. But I've always found a way to eat, you know, whether I had to steal food or whatever. You know, there's food out there. I don't recommend stealing anything. You know,
right.
Because, you know, I've always worked my whole life. You know, you got to find jobs, odd jobs. You know, you got to do whatever you have to do in life to put yourself in a situation that you could pursue your dreams. You know, not everyone's as fortunate as others, as, you know, some rich people who, you know, don't have to do anything, just, you know, follow their dreams. But some people have to really work for a living, and it takes up a lot of their time. And then you have to free up whatever time is left to pursue your dreams.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, your priorities have to be in order. You know, if you really want to do something with your creative, you know, with your creativity, then you have to really focus on that and put on the blinders and go for it all the way. You know, get yourself a job so that you can eat and you can pay your bills. You know, live wisely so that, you know, you're not spending all of your money on foolish things when you need to buy guitar strings or, you know, or film or paper or pencils or guitars or amplifiers. You know, you have to just get what you need to be the tools that you need, just like a carpenter needs a hammer, you know, guitarist needs his guitar, you know, and you need strings. And you kind of, it just kind of happens. You know, you find ways to make it happen in your life. And eating is something you have to do.
Yeah.
You have to play music. You know, you have to eat to live. You know, you could eat and play at the same time if you want to. You know,
that'd be pretty talented, actually.
You know, you could eat your cereal with, you know, one hand and
play the guitar with the other.
Left. But I don't recommend doing it together.
No, I think that could be...
Put on your guitar and it gets messy.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You short out your amp and everything.
Yeah.
I actually just received a text message asking, any chance you'll be touring in the UK?
Wow, you know, the last time I was in the UK was in October of 2006, where I did a little tour there and I had such an amazing time. You know, I can't wait to go back. I stayed at this little place, this little pub, right above a pub, and the coolest people ran at Barry and Shirley. And we had such an amazing time there, and I can't wait to go back, you know, to England, to Europe.
Very cool.
It's an amazing experience, and I hope to go back there really soon.
Well,
right now,
couple.
I'm kind of just I'm playing around the good old USA, you know.
That was going to be my next question. Are you
beautiful
going on tour?
Yeah, but it's so very beautiful here in our own country. You know, so many beautiful spots that I haven't seen and I look forward to seeing.
Yeah,
cool. Now, did you have any plans to go out on tour?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm playing in Texas. You know, I'm kind of like taking it like a couple places at a time, you know. Couple states at a time. It hasn't been like a tour. I'm just going out there and playing, you know, night after night. It's kind of just setting up, playing in different areas, different states, and doing it that way.
Okay. How soon are you going to be playing, going out on tour?
Well, actually, I'm going out on tour playing guitar with Chubby Checker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been doing that for since last year, and that's been a blast. You know,
I was going to say that must be a blast to do.
Yeah, we've been going all over the country playing, and it's really amazing to see the country and to meet all these very interesting people and in places that I've never been before. You know, it's really cool.
Yes. Actually, there's a comment in the chat room that I think you'd want to hear.
Yeah.
Vicky 100 Monkeys fan is from the UK, and she says, as a first-time listener of your music, I love it. So apparently she went to your MySpace page and she heard the music that we played before. She loves it. And we're getting a bunch of that in the chat room where people
are saying, what is it, 1,000 Monkeys?
100 Monkeys.
100.
Yeah, that's another band that we've had on, and she happens to be a fan of that particular band, but... so that's her screen name, but she's in the UK, and she says, as a first-time listener, she loves your music.
Ah, what is her name?
Her name is Vicky.
Oh, Vicky.
Yes.
Vicky, thank you so much for loving my music. It's amazing that people actually like it, you know? And that's all we really set out to do.
Does it catch you by surprise sometimes? You're like, dude, people like this.
They like me.
They really like me.
You know, yeah, it always feels good. I mean, what else could you ask for? You know, you're creating something and someone says they like it, you know, they love it, or they want some more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the most, that's the ultimate rush right there, and that's why we do it. You know, you don't know it when you're making it, you just do it. And then if someone likes it, you know, it's even better.
There are some girls in the chat room, they're asking, are you single?
Am I single? Let's see.
It's a catch 22.
I have to ask my wife.
Girlfriend. I guess not.
Girlfriend. And my mistress about that one. Yes, actually, I am. I am single.
Awesome. Somebody in the chat room is saying, listening to you talk is like drinking a smooth, full-bodied Cabernet Sauvignon.
Really?
Yeah, they like your voice.
Am I that delicious?
I think you do. You are, yeah.
Mm. Well, you know, Jerry Cherry's
yeah.
Sweetest of all fruits, apparently.
Now, Jerry Cherry, is that your real name, or is that something that you've come up with?
Well, I needed something to rhyme with cherry. So I thought Jerry would be good.
Okay.
You know, that was funny once. It doesn't seem to be funny anymore. I don't know. It never works. Maybe because
catchy,
there's no...
Catchy, it's definitely very catchy. And I love the cover. I love the picture that we have on the board of
yeah.
You holding up the cherries. That's awesome. I've seen some of your pictures on the MySpace page. You have a pretty swanky photographer there.
Yeah. Courtney did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's funny. It's like those cherries weren't my idea to put in that picture.
Really?
Yeah. I gave the picture to Jeff Schramm, actually. God, I hope he's listening so he could give me some free, you know, some free web design for, you know, give him a shout out. But I gave him the picture because the cherry thing, I kind of, you know, shied away from putting, even though it's odd to say I'm Jerry Cherry and I don't really use cherries in my promotional things. I don't really, you know, use cherries in pictures and logos and things like that. So I gave him just the picture for that, and you know, and then he wound up actually putting those cherries in my hand there when he built my MySpace page with that picture, and I was like, you know what, those are really cool cherries. I'm not going to complain about that, you know, because I didn't tell them to put those there. And obviously, they weren't in my hand. Sorry, those aren't little cherries in my hand right there. Hope I didn't, like, just, you know, spoil it.
Ruined
it for all of us.
You know that those are not real cherries. Those are, like, just pretty cherries that he found somewhere. But they're so nice, and I want to just two cherries.
Wow, you should see the updates that are happening in the chat room. All these horny girls chatting in here.
Cherries? All my cherries?
About your cherries? About your...
Well, you can become an official cherry.
Awesome.
JerryCherry.com. If you go to JerryCherry.com and just, sign up and become a cherry, and you can get all things cherry. And
every now
and then I'll send you an update, like, you know, one or two times a month about where I'm going, where I'm touring, and new music and new stuff, and just everything that's constantly, happening for me in my musical endeavors.
You mentioned before, and I did want to ask you before you mentioned it, but you cut in before me. The thing with Chubby Checker, how did you get involved in that? How did you wind up playing guitar with him?
I lucked out. Actually, it was probably like one of the best things that's ever happened to me is to wind up playing with Chubby Checker, because he's such an amazing person. He's a great man, and he's a great musician. And he started something years ago that, you know, that's still going on today. And it's real rock and roll music that I'm honored to play, and to, you know, to play guitar with him is just a blessing to me. And I feel really lucky, you know, and grateful every time I take the stage with him. And, I pretty much lucked out with it. I had when my album was coming out, I was getting some radio promotion and by Gary Leftowith, and it turns out he was actually promoting one of Chubby's new songs as well, a song called Knock Down the Walls that Chubby Checker has. And they wound up doing a show in New York City, and Gary, the radio promoter, actually plays guitar as well, and they needed another guitarist to play the show. The special show was only like four songs in the city, so Gary asked me if I wanted to do it because he knew of my guitar playing based on my album that he was promoting on the radio. And he liked guitar work, so we thought, Jerry, you want to come out and play with Chubby Check for the show? I was like, of course I do.
Nah, I got to wash my hair. I can't make it.
Yeah, do you want to play with Chubby Checker at the Cutting Room in New York City, you know, for a showcase for his distribution company, you know? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. So we went up rehearsing, and I'll never forget that, you know, first day Chubby came in. And the first time I ever played the twist was with Chubby Checker himself.
Wow.
You know? So,
That is something you probably never forget, right?
No, he came in, and it was a pretty amazing experience. And, so then I did a couple other little shows with him when we played on the CBS Morning Show. And what happened was the musical director, Tommy C., of Chubby's band, wound up, they needed a guitarist to go on the road, on tour, which was kind of a different band than what Gary had put together for the showcase. You know, they had a touring band that was, that had been out there for a while, just kind of, you know, playing across the country. And Tommy had seen me play on the morning show, the CBS Morning Show, and, you know, he liked my playing, and he asked me if I could, if I wanted to do another show, like a full set. So I said, yeah, of course. And I wound up learning 30 songs. I wound up learning the whole set pretty much in a week on a bus, on a tour bus from Ohio to Virginia, I think it was. I learned it in a week. And the first show we did, it was in way on the west side of Virginia, Edmonton. And it was a festival out there, and it was 15,000 people at this festival, and it was my first show with them. And I wasn't nervous at all about the people. It was really just the if I could remember, because there's a lot of stops and there's a lot of 30 songs I think it was, and then my amp blew up halfway through. So it was kind of like disaster this first show too. But somehow, I don't know, they asked me back again. Playing. I've been playing with him ever since. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now the song that we opened with was Free Show.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that song? How did you come to write that? A lot of your music is autobiographical, correct?
My music's about what? Say what?
A lot of your music is autobiographical, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, that song was written really quick, in like 15 minutes. I think I wrote that.
It's amazing how quickly, like, the big songs...
The best songs come out, like,
how,
you know,
fast they come together.
Yeah, it's fast. I like it, because, you know, you capture an emotion. The song's an emotion, you know, and you got to capture it, you know, quick, or else it's gone, and something completely different next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the idea of it. You could build on it. The nuts and bolts could take, you know, weeks. But the idea and the song and the idea of it, that has to just happen pretty much right away. But, you know, I was at a bar. It was a place called Blondie's on the Upper West Side in New York, and this bartender was just so beautiful, you know. Her name's Carmeets. And, you know, I was just in one of those moods, and I was like, you know what? I'm feeling very inspired to write something. So as beautiful as this girl is, this bartender, and every guy in the bar thought she was amazing. She is. And there was no chance that I was going to, you know, be like the lucky guy that, you know, she falls for, you know. And I knew that. But I just kind of created this whole, like, idea in my head that I'm just going to, like, you know, just kind of just go for it and just, you know, and build up all this emotion and all these ideas so that I'm going to go home and I'm going to write a song really fast and just see what happens, see what I get out of it. And I'm going to perform it that night. So that's what I did. I wound up going home, and my roommate is actually, his nickname was the Golden Child. Sound descendant. That's where that lyric comes in, you know, the Golden Child in the song.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people know that. But so he played, you know, he brought out his drum machine. He was like, give me a beat. And I wound up just writing down all these words, and I came up with some chords. And next thing you know, like, you know, I had a song, and we wound up going to this bar that was like an open jam every Sunday night. It was the best part of New York, and it, you know, it was a place called Three of Cups, where every Sunday night people would just go and they would just play, and you could do anything you want there. And it was, that's what was really cool about it, is that it wasn't so perfect, you know, where people go up and they play their pretty songs, and, you know, and they're just great, and, you know, and that's it. This place you can go and you can kind of just experiment and just be, you know, whatever you wanted to do. And I think that that was great because it helped musicians and artists kind of find themselves and not be too, you know, not just be so perfect and they open, but you were able to open up and just be as creative as you want. So we went there, we wrote the song and just went there and we played it that night. You know, so we wrote it, played it, we performed it all in one night and had a pretty good vibe with it. And, you know, and then I wound up recording it. And the funny thing is it was like a year later, 2 years later, after I wrote this song, I saw Carmeet, the bartender I wrote it about, and I told her, hey, I wrote a song about you. She's like, really? And I wound up giving her the CD. And she loved the song. And it turns out that I was going to be making a video for it, which I have now up on my website, you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it turns out that I had this idea for, you know, for a simple video where I'm playing guitar and in a bar. And I said, you know what, I'm going to find Carmeet and I'm going to have her be the bartender in this. So, you know, luckily somehow I wound up finding her and I asked if she wanted to be the bartender. She said yes. And it was,
oh my gosh.
I wound up, you know, having Carmeet be the bartender in the video.
That you wrote the song about.
About her. I couldn't think of another bartender who would be more perfect for that video as well. She's very beautiful, and I knew it would work out just perfectly having her, you know, star in my video.
That is actually really cool.
Yeah, it's funny.
That is really cool, yeah. And that you can see that on the MySpace page. I have the MySpace page up. It's the first video on right underneath videos. Freak Show is the name of the song, and that's the song that played in the beginning. I want to play another song so people get some a little bit more of your music on the air here. And since this is Vamp Radio,
right,
you know what the next song is going to be, don't you?
I have a feeling now, I know.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your song called Vampires.
That song, it just kind of happened, you know. I just wrote the riff first. On that one, it had a very Spanish,
mm-hmm,
very Spanishy type of feel to it, and I knew I had something like right on that riff. I was like, and then the next part came, and the change came, and it practically wrote itself. It was just so strange, musically. And then I knew that music was very pretty, and I was like, okay, well, now I need like something to say in the song. And I had a lot going on in my mind at the time. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life, and I felt, you know, this is a perfect outlet, this song, to really express what I wanted to say, you know. And I think it was the chorus actually hit me first, you know, where I say vampires in it.
Right.
So, and then I actually made it easier for me because I had a storyline now. You know, I had, like, vampires now, and I had this beautiful music. I had a catchy chorus that fit perfectly. And I thought, well, now I just need a story to go along with. Like, what am I going to say about vampires? You know, what do I feel about vampires? How do I use vampires? What is the meaning of vampires? You know, is it a real vampire that sucks the blood out of its victims, or or is it a metaphor for something else? I mean, it could be lots of different things, you know. So, you know, then
there are many different types of vampires, and you may encounter all of them in your life, not necessarily of the traditional kind. So,
right.
Yeah,
that's true. So I had to find, you know, what kind of vampire I wanted to write about, you know, and it took me a while to really write the lyrics to this because I wanted them to be perfect. I wanted it to be right. So I just kind of spent, I think it was a couple weeks, you know, maybe like 2 weeks to a month, I think, writing these words. And I went out different places. I went to clubs and I listened to music, and it was kind of weird, you know. I kind of sat in the back of dark bars and just watched things. I kind of hung out with interesting people that I might have, you know, not have hung out with as much, you know. And I just kind of got a vibe for what I was trying to say, and try to find some kind of metaphor for it. And, you know, listening to people play it at all hours of the night. And New York's a good place to do that because there's so many clubs and there's so many things to do, you know. So, and then once I started just writing the words for this, it just started happening. And, you know, you have to make certain sacrifices in life to get where you want to go, you know. And I think even in writing songs, you have to make sacrifices to be honest with yourself and to be honest in a song, you know, to be real. You have to live it, you know, and, you know, it's hard sometimes to, if you feel you want to just make the best piece of art that you can, you know, you have to be as real as you can, and you have to do whatever you have to do to create that, and that's what I did for that song, and I'm happy with it, the way it turned out, because it cost me a lot, that song, but I like the way it came out, so.
I love this song, and I can't wait to play it, so we're going to take a quick break to stay on the line. And we're going to play Jerry Cherry's Vampires. Here it is.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Thank you.
I was just joking around in the chat room, like, I want this to be our theme song.
Okay.
Okay, he says, awesome.
Sure. Use it.
Sweet.
Yes.
I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Vicky says, it suits Vamp Radio, too. Well, I don't know if I think that that's a compliment or an insult, but thanks.
I think it's a compliment.
Okay.
Great show that you have.
Thank you.
The whole show that you had with Corey Haim and G-Mac.
G-Tom Mac.
Yeah, that was great. I just started listening to it just to, you know, and I wound up listening to it forever. It was like an hour and a half. I'm still listening to it, and it was crazy.
Yeah. Those boys can really talk. Yeah, thank you.
Interesting.
We really have a great time talking to everybody, and, you know, a lot of the times we find out that people are actually nervous to talk to us, which we find is very, very funny because we're usually terrified before people hear us in the air. You know, Amy will call me up. She's like, I'm really nervous. Me too. But, yeah, it's actually very, very fun, and we love doing it. Music is a big part of Amy's life and my life, and it's just amazing to be able to talk to all these people who really get it, who get the idea behind music and how it speaks to people on a universal level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that I've waxed poetic about music, but...
Yeah, well, it's important, you know. It's very important.
Yeah. Hey, I've got a question for you. Actually, I think Amy has a question for you. She asks a very, very serious question of everybody on the show. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. And, you know, I hate asking serious questions, but it has to be done.
Okay.
Are you ready for this question?
Not sure if I'm ready for this one. Let me brace myself.
Okay.
All right,
I'm braced.
Okay, if you were a superhero, who would you be and why?
Superhero. Who and why? Which superhero? You know, I thought Batman was really cool.
Yes! I love Batman.
Batman was really cool. Yeah, because Batman, I would be Batman, the superhero, because, you know, he just looks really cool. He has all the tools that he needs to do anything. He's a real human person, you know, and he's very smart. He's very powerful. He's loaded. He has this unbelievable amount of money, you know, that he could just, you know, do whatever he wants to do. He has planes, jets, a beautiful house, you know. And most of the girls love him, except for the one that he loves the most, of course.
Right, of course. The one he can have.
You know, and then he's got a little boy wonder. You can just tell whatever, you know. And a little boy wonder comes into play. But
little gopher.
Yeah. I guess I really don't know any other, you know, Superman. Everyone would want to be Superman or Aquaman.
You know, we've gotten the Silver Surfer before. Superman, Spider-Man. Very few people have picked Batman. We've gotten a couple of X-Men.
Really? On Vamp Radio?
Yeah.
I think that everybody would want to be Batman.
Yeah, you think?
Oh,
I love Batman.
Actually,
hey, okay.
I want it to be the Count.
Count?
On Street.
Awesome.
Yeah. The Count was cool. And Count Chocula. Don't forget about him.
Oh, yes.
Count Chocula was a good one.
Yeah, that is a great cereal.
Good cereal. I don't think they have it anymore. It's sad.
Oh, I think they still do. Oh, unless I've got a really expired box.
Yeah, well, check the expiration date on that one.
Yeah, I might not want to eat that. It's been in there for a while. Or maybe I'll just save it for posterity.
Probably still good, though, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're getting marriage proposals in the chat room.
Oh, really?
Yes. RJ says, will you be my second husband?
It depends on, is she still married to the first one?
Yeah, yeah, she's still married to the first one. But, you know, if you move to Utah, it really won't be a problem.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, you're really easy to please. I've got another. Oh, no, we ran out of time. I just got a 90-second warning. This hour just flew by. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, 90 seconds, huh? What do we want? 90 seconds.
Well, listen, visit Jerry Cherry on myspace.com/Jerry Cherry Band.
Or jerrycherry.com, which is easier.
Yes, that one too.
And
what were you going to say, Amy?
Before we run out of time, can you say your name and you're listening to Vamp Radio?
Yes, this is Jerry Cherry, and you're listening to Vamp Radio.
Thank you very much, Jerry. And the next song I'm going to play is getting airplay. We want to try and push it, and that is called Turned Around. So, you know, call up your radio stations and see if you can get this song played on there. Again, it's Jerry Cherry, Turned Around. Jerry, welcome back.
Rock Me TV, April 13th, a live internet show that you
awesome.
Can watch live on the internet from wherever at
yes.
8 o'clock.
Okay, send us the information. We'll make sure we'll post it on the webpage.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. And, again, you're welcome back anytime. Thank you very much for spending this hour with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Keep us updated. Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Have a great day, guys. I'm going to play Turned Around right now.
I'm completely moved in every way. All the things that I just want to say, I've been afraid to watch. Did I do to deserve someone like you? How'd I get so lucky? Is it true? myself, and that's enough. I've been afraid to.